नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो सेकेंड चैप्टर वर्स 49। देहेन्द्रिय प्राण मनो दियं यो जन्मापया कष्टभयतर्षकष्टेर् संसार धर्मेर अविमूयमाना स्मृत्या हरेर भगवत प्रदाना देहेन्द्रिय प्राण मनो दियं यो जन्मापया कष्ट भया तर्षकृष्टेर संसार धर्मेर अविमूयमाना स्मृत्या हरेर भगवत प्रदाना देहेन्द्रिय प्राण मनो दियं यो जन्मापया कष्टभया त्रष्टकृष्णे संसार धर्मैर अविमूयमाना स्मृत्या हरेर भगवत प्रदाना देहेन्द्रिय प्राण मनो दियं यो माताजी वर्ड टू अ ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। word to word translation, dehe, of the body, indriya, senses, prana, life air, mana, mind, diyam, and intelligence, yaha, who, janma, by birth, apyaya, diminution, kasht, hunger, bhaya, fear, tarsa, thirst, krisher, and the pain of exertion, samsara, of material life, dharmai, by the inseparable features, avimuyamana, not bewildered, smritya, because of remembrance, hare, of Lord Hari, Bhagavata, Bhagavata Pradana, the foremost of devotees. Translation. Within the material world, one's material body is always subject to birth and decay. Similarly, the life air is harassed of thirst and hunger, of hunger and thirst. The mind is always anxious, the intelligence hankers for that which cannot be obtained, and all the senses are ultimately exhausted by constant struggle in the material nature. A person who is not bewildered by the inevitable miseries of material existence, and who remains aloof from them simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to be considered Bhagavata Pradana, the foremost devotee of the Lord. Purport, I think there is three part of purport. The first part was discussed yesterday by Baldev Prabhu, and today we'll discuss the middle part, and tomorrow I think Krishnanam Prabhu will discuss the third part of the purport. So yesterday Prabhuji ended with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although there were various khandas or divisions Vedic discipline, such as Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Harinam Sankirtan movement is Keval Ananda Kanda, the pathway of pure bliss. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, eating the remnants of sumptuous food offered to the Supreme Lord, and hearing the enchanting pastimes of the Personality of Godhead, one merges into an ocean of bliss called Krishna consciousness. Fortunately, this blissful ocean is the eternal situation of every living entity, provided he gives up all his bogus concepts of life. One should not identify himself as a gross material body, nor as a fickle mind, nor as speculative intelligence, nor should one foolishly identify himself with the so-called world of Buddhist imagination, nor should one even identify himself with the ocean of impersonal spiritual life called the Brahma Jyoti, which illuminates the great outdoors of the spiritual sky beyond the covered universe. One should rather identify himself correctly as an eternal individual servant of the Supreme Individual Personality of Godhead. By this simple admission of one's constitutional position, and by sincere engagement in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, one is quickly promoted to the direct participation in the eternal pastimes of Krishna. Just as Arjuna got the opportunity to play with Krishna as a soldier on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Srila Madhvacharya has given an elaborate description of the process of which material miseries arise. When a conditioned soul of demoniac mentality identifies himself with a gross material body, he undergoes miseries of constant drowsiness and unquenchable sexual desires that burn all mental peace and serenity to ashes. When a demoniac person identifies himself with prana, the life air, he suffers from hunger, and by identifying himself with the mind, he suffers panic, fear and anchoring that ends in disappointment. When he identifies himself with intelligence, he suffers profound existential bitterness and frustration deep within his heart. When he identifies himself with false ego, he feels inferiority complex. I am so low,
And when he identifies himself with the process of consciousness, he is haunted by memories of the past. When a demon tries to impose himself as the ruler of all living beings, all of these miseries expand simultaneously. According to Sripad Madhvacharya, sinful life is the demoniac standard for happiness. We can observe that in demoniac society, the dark, late hours of night are considered most appropriate for recreational activities. When a demon hears that someone is rising at 4 o'clock in the morning to take advantage of the godly early morning hours, he is astonished and bewildered. Therefore, it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami, yasyam jagrata bhutani na sanisha pasyato mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Srila Prabhupada has commented, there are two classes of intelligent men. The one is intelligent in material activities for sense gratification, and other is introspective and awake to the cultivation of self-realization. Thus, the more one can increase illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating and gambling, the more one advances his prestige in demoniac society. Whereas in a godly society based on Krishna consciousness, these things are abolished completely. Similarly, as one becomes blissfully attached to the holy names and pastimes of Krishna, one becomes more and more alienated from the demoniac society. The purport is still longer. The last half will be discussed tomorrow by Krishnanam Prabhu. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uthapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Grababde Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayine Prabhave Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I seek for blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas sitting here, especially Anand Vrindavan Prabhu and Krishnanam Prabhu. Yesterday Baldev Prabhu discussed about this. This is a conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the Nava Yogendras. This whole chapter begins with Narada Muni visiting Vasudev. And Vasudev welcomes Narada Muni and he is asking him few questions about this material creation and how he was bewildered by the illusory energy of Krishna. And Narada Muni gives the example of the king of Videha, King Maharaj Nimi, when he meets the now Yogendras, when they come and how he welcomes them, and he asks them these 9 questions. Maharaj Nimi is asking Nava Yogendras 9 questions. In that 9 questions, this is answer, this verse is the answer to the second question. So So the king Nimi is asking Yogendra, now Yogendra has 9 questions. He is asking, what is the highest good for mankind? And the second question is, what are dharma, swabhava, achara, vakya and lakshana of a Bhagavata, a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord? And third question is, what is the external energy of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And fourth is, how can one become disassociated from this Maya? Fifth is, what is the true identity of Brahma? And sixth is, what are the 3 types of karma? Seventh is, what are the various pastimes of the various incarnation of God? Eighth is, what is the aim of destination of a non-devotee? Ninth is, what are the respective colors, form and names of the 4 Yuga Avataras and the process of worshipping them? And tenth is, of course, 9 questions. And the Nava Yogendras are answering all these 9 questions. And this second question asked by Maharaj Nimi is, please tell me in great detail about the devotee of the Supreme Lord and the natural symptoms by which one can distinguish between the most advanced, those in the middle order and those who are neophytes. And what are the typical religious activities of a Vaishnava and how does he speak? Especially, please describe those symptoms and characteristics by which Vaishnava becomes dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Nimi is humbly inquiring about the character, behavior and speech of a devotee. The king wants to know what are the particular symptoms of the body, mind and speech by which the different category of devotees, the Uttam Adhikaris, the Madhyam Adhikaris and the Kanishta Adhikari are clearly identified. In this response, from second chapter, verse 45 to 55, Havir, the second Navayogendra, is speaking about the Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Kanishta Adhikari. So specifically here he is asking of dharma, swabhava, achara and vakya lakshana of a Bhagavata, of a Vaishnava devotee. So from 45 to 55 he is mentioning this. In the purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada very clearly mentioned that they are speaking of those 3 verses of Bhagavad Gita. One is Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Sita Ushna Sukha Dukkada Agama Payino Nitya Tamsi Tikshasva Bharataha. How happiness and distress are like summer and winter. How and whoever tolerates it gets mercy of the Lord. So, who is called Tamsi Tikshasva Bharata? He is called self-controlled. So now here in this verse he is speaking of Bhakta Pradhan, the topmost devotee. How the illusory energy doesn't affect the topmost devotee of the Lord. Or sometimes you see devotees are engaged externally, by their external presence you cannot make out what they are doing, you know. They look like ordinary beings, but they are completely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their mind and senses are completely engaged in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated Kevala Ananda Kanda, the pathway of pure devotional bliss. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you can attain that state of consciousness. And eating the remnants offered to the Supreme Lord and hearing the enchanting pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then there is misery. Now what is this misery? Why there is misery even if when you are engaged in all these activities? The illusory energy of the Lord is described here. One has to tolerate the incidental experiences of suffering within this material world for accomplishment of dharma. If you have to stand by the principles of dharma, sometimes you have to, the accidental experiences of misery you have to go through. With dharma, when you endeavor like this to follow dharma, you get knowledge. There is jnana. And from jnana arises liberation. But if you give up dharma without becoming firmly established in knowledge, is the cause of obstacle. Then obstacles come. When you establish, if you just give up dharma, just with knowledge, without any knowledge, or accomplishing the requirements of knowledge, there is a lot of obstacles. So in this same Bhagavad Gita verse, Krishna is telling the same thing to Arjuna, and in the Purport Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna was reminding, in this verse that he describes him as Kaunteya and Bharata. So he is reminding him of his great blood relationship, of his great dynasty from his mother's side and his father's side as Bharat Vamsh. He is a grandson of, signifies his greatness of his father's side. So when there is great heritage, there is lot of responsibility. Today people just ask for rights. Nobody is aware of responsibilities. People want rights. What is my right? I want this, I want that. But every individual must be aware of his position and of his responsibilities. When people become aware of their responsibilities, they can do great work for society. So that was Srila Prabhupada's intention when he came. He wanted to create this awareness. So similarly, here, you know, it is said a great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, Arjuna could not avoid fighting because that was his responsibility. Again, in the second verse, it is said, what is a living entity? What is the position of a living entity? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manasastrani Indriyani Prakriti Sani Karshati. All these living entities are conditioned, in this conditioned world are my part and parcels. Due to the conditioned life, they are struggling within this material world, including their mind. Even with their mind, they are struggling. So, actually, we are all part and parcel of the Lord. And we are independent. We have our free will to a limited extent. The way we use our free will, if we use our free will for our sense gratification, you become conditioned soul. And when you use our free will in the service of the Lord, you become liberated. That is way to liberation. So here the description is of, first initially describes of Uttama, Madhyama Adhikari, Kanishta Adhikari, and now he is speaking of Pradhana, Uttama Adhikari, the highest Bhakta, the highest stage of devotional service. In the highest stage of devotional service, he is completely focused on the lotus feet of the Lord. Whatever karshati, whatever material anxieties and disturbances are there, it doesn't take him away from the lotus feet of the Lord. The more difficulties, with all his senses, the living entity in this conditional world is completely engaged in just maintenance of his body. There is so much energy and so much time is spent only in maintaining the body. So that is a very difficult proposition for a living entity. How to engage in devotional service is a big challenge, especially in today's world. So this same question was asked by Devahuti to Kapila Muni. Kapila Muni also says the same thing. As there is no separate existence of the earth and its aroma, or of water and its taste, there cannot be any separate existence of intelligence and consciousness. Kapila Muni very clearly says that if we try to enjoy separately this material world, we can never be happy. The only way you can achieve happiness is to surrender our mind and senses to the will of the Lord. Now, how do we know what is the will of the Lord? So that's why we have sadhu, shastra, and Vaishnavas, and all these devotional activities. So the influence of this material world has covered the living entity, and thus it is very difficult. Actually, he is always in the blazing fire. So we are always thinking that this is the way of life, always to be in this blazing fire and suffer and struggle. But by the process of seriously discharging devotional service, this influence can be removed. Kapila Muni says, this influence can be removed by seriously engaging in devotional service. The influence of material nature cannot harm an enlightened soul, even though he engages in material activities, because he knows the truth of the Absolute and his mind is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this way, once Srila Prabhupada was in the airport and he was with few of his devotees, and one small child just went away from his mother. He was in mother's hand, he just went away. So the tendency of the child is to explore. But airport is very huge. You cannot explore an airport. A small child cannot. So Srila Prabhupada looked at the child and he laughed and he said, see, this is what we have done. We have left the hand of Krishna and we have got attracted to this material world and we have come to explore this material world. And then after some time, the child goes little ahead and then he comes back. Then he cannot see his mother. So when he cannot see his mother, he helplessly starts crying. His face starts crumbling and he starts crying. So similarly, then again Prabhupada makes a statement. Prabhupada says, similarly, we have also come into this material world to enjoy or to explore, but we cannot find happiness here. And then the only hope is, what is the only hope for the child? To find his mother and go back into his mother's arms. So only hope for us is Krishna. When we give up this desire of enjoying this material world and go into the lotus feet of the Lord with the help of Guru and Sadhu, only then we can perfect our life. So, this blazing fire, if you keep on putting more ghee into the fire will become bigger and bigger. That fire will not satisfy. Similarly, this material advancement or whatever you call it, economic development, there is no limit to it. There is no end to it. But all these arrangements will not give you satisfaction. Satisfaction is only at the lotus feet of the Lord. So when in the association of devotees, when you engage your mind and senses at the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is satisfaction. The absolute truth. And when the mind is fixed on this absolute truth. Now, you know, you can give an example of a person building a temple and a skyscraper. Both look similar externally. Even building a temple is not very easy. You need funds. You need to have that passion to get all those workers work and get it done. And even skyscraper, it's the same thing. But what is the difference? The difference is just in the consciousness. There is no other difference. Externally it all looks similar. Difference is in the consciousness. This temple is built only for the pleasure of the Lord, for the service of the Lord, and to accommodate the devotees. Whereas the skyscraper is built for his sensual pleasure, for his sense engagement. When the mind and the senses are engaged in creating something for the pleasure of the mind and the senses, you will get frustrated. That is what is been described in this purport. That all this endeavor will frustrate you. But when you engage the mind and the senses at the lotus feet of the Lord, then you can achieve, at whatever state of consciousness you are in today, but you can achieve the state of Bhakta Pradhan, Bhagavata Pradhan. You can achieve that state of highest devotional service, pure devotional service. But we are engaged in all these activities not because we are like practicing devotees. It is not our desire to do all these things. But unfortunately we are taken away in that. We are into that blazing fire. A practicing devotee gets his share of material miseries according to his karma. Whatever karma he has performed according to his karma. But he can still become pure. He can become a pure devotee when he learns to use everything in Krishna's service. Actually we have other tendency, but when we blame ourselves for the miseries and we glorify Krishna for the mercy he has given us, then we can advance in this devotional service. So this thing begins by Rupa Goswami say, Sevan Mukehi Jivado. Just by glorifying, by using the tongue in the service of the Lord. By using the tongue is two ways, by speaking about the Lord or by accepting Mahaprasad of the Lord. We can make the best use of this bad bargain, of this material body, by using it in Krishna's service, thus freeing us from this bondage of material existence or material life. Thus by doing that the senses actually, the tongue, they like to take prasad and speak about Krishna. Krishna Katha and Krishna Prasad. Then when you engage the mind in that kind of sankirtan, then there is Ananda Kanda. The process and the destination are not the same. The process and the destination you can achieve with this process. So Ambarish Maharaj was one. There are many examples in Bhagavatam who have used everything in Krishna's service. Ambarish Maharaj is one of them. And I can just think of, I'll just end this thing by one example we can think of is one of Prabhupada's disciples, His Holiness that Bhubaneswar Gaur Govind Maharaj, His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj. When Gaur Govind Maharaj, he was searching for spiritual truth. He was searching for a guru. He travelled all over India. But he could not find that satisfaction. They could not answer his quest. Then he came and met Srila Prabhupada. When he came and met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada just saw him and he could understand that he is seeking for spiritual shelter. So Srila Prabhupada welcomed him and Srila Prabhupada directly told him, you must take sannyas. So, and then he came into the ashram, he came into the temple. And Srila Prabhupada then one day saw that he was translating some books in Hindi. So he said, okay, you can write Hindi. So you please translate all our books to Hindi. And then suddenly he called few of his senior disciples and told them, give him a room and give him a place to stay. So they were all surprised, like, who is this person, you know? And that time nobody had a room to stay, or all those facilities were not there. The temples were all under construction, there was nothing. So, and then in the process, he started using everything in Krishna's service. And he had a very strong, Gaur Govind Maharaj had a very strong desire to build a temple in Bhubaneswar. But Srila Prabhupada was not so much interested. When he asked Srila Prabhupada, would not say anything. So one day they were in Delhi and suddenly Srila Prabhupada got an offer. Somebody donated a land in Bhubaneswar. So Srila Prabhupada immediately remembered Gaur Govind Maharaj and he called Gaur Govind Maharaj and he said, you build this temple, you take this land and you develop it. And it was actually a God-forsaken place. It was actually in the forest and nobody was there. It was a very difficult place. And Srila Prabhupada once went there and they said they wanted to make arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to stay in a big hotel or some nice place. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, I will stay here only with Gaur Govind Maharaj. And they stayed there and of course so Prabhupada gave him his mercy. But Gaur Govind Maharaj, like why I am telling you this pastime is Gaur Govind Maharaj engaged completely in this two things, Krishna Katha and Krishna Bhajan. Gaur Govind Maharaj developed so much taste for hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna. And then after Srila Prabhupada left, Gaur Govind Maharaj made it a point. He started traveling all over the world and he was speaking only to the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and he was speaking about Krishna Katha and Krishna Bhajan. So when you attain that state of consciousness, he said, these two things can uplift all suffering humanity. He had so much conviction in that. When you engage your mind and senses only in Krishna Bhajan and Krishna Katha, it will uplift all suffering humanity. And finally, everybody knows he was giving a Bhagavatam class, and then when he was giving a class, he disappeared. He left his body. So even we hear of Amrish Maharaj, all his senses were engaged in the service of the Lord. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, in his very old age, at the age of 69, he could have lived in Vrindavan comfortably, getting nice prasad. He had a nice place at Radha Damodar temple. But just to uplift suffering humanity, he could not see the suffering of mankind. And just to spread this message of Srila, of Krishna consciousness, he travelled all over the world. And just because of Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, we are all here and we are getting an opportunity to discuss this Krishna Katha. So I think there was this much in this purport. And the second half, I think, will be the same sloka purport will be discussed by Krishnanam Prabhu tomorrow. Anandvinam Prabhu would like to add something. Anybody has any corrections or queries? Is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Puran ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki jai.